The reading from God's words today is taken from Psalm 131. And I will be reading from CSB. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not get involved with things too great and too wondrous for me. Instead, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like a weaned child. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. My name is Stevanus Pradana. It's my joy to share God's words with you today. I think it's not too late for me to say Happy New Year to you all, and may this year be a testimony that God is good, that God's steadfast love never ends, always new, every morning. I don't know about you, but I've noticed this, that this world seems getting noisier day after day. The world seems to be getting noisier every day. Okay. Whether we realize it or not, that constant noise makes us restless. A big part of it, I believe, comes from social media. We all know how it works, right? People post the best moment of their lives, and our heart is raging with desires to have what they have. We feel that our life is boring, our life is mundane, mediocre compared to theirs. And it's hard to shake off the feeling of inadequacy. At the same time, we feel so much pressure to perform. A couple of weeks ago, I read a fascinating book by Jonathan Haidt, a social psychologist. He's not a Christian, but he makes really thoughtful observations. He talks about how social media has transformed the way we live. He writes that now we don't just live, we are now performing. We are now performing. Instead of just living our lives, we are constantly performing for a worldwide audience. And it's like we're always being judged, as if life is a big, never-ending exam. You remember the feeling of being tested all the times? It's tiring. Let's compare that to how the things were before social media took over. You remember? Back then, we lived, we played, we make mistakes. But those mistakes are low risk. We learn from it and move on. That's how we grew, right? But now, one wrong move online, just one, our life and our reputations can ruin. If you don't believe me, you can ask Park Sung-hoon. That's a heavy weight to carry, especially for Generation Z, Gen Z, the first generation who grew up entirely in the social media world. Life feels so overwhelming, and no wonder many are dealing with anxiety, self-doubt, and restlessness. And added to that, in the real world, we live in a world that defines success as always having more stuffs, more recognitions, more everything. We're constantly chasing something, but we're never arriving. No matter what we achieve, it's never enough. If you realize, right, this is what we do. We keep setting bigger and harder goals. And we're telling ourselves that the sky is the limit. We believe that if we work hard enough, we can make things happen. And when it does happen, we show off to the whole world. But we forget one thing. We forget something important, that our lives is shaped by so many factors, that by so many things that we cannot control. And when we try to control the uncontrollable, it leaves us feeling exhausted. It leaves us feeling restless and anxious. We live in a noisy world, and it leaves us feeling restless. And this is a stark contrast to what we see in Psalm 131. If you see Psalm 131, if you picture it in your mind, David is calm. He's not restless. And what's remarkable is that David's quietness doesn't come from living a trouble-free life. His peace came in the midst of life chaos. If you know his story, right, it's far from peaceful. He was isolated from his family, envied by his father-in-law, chased down and pursued by his own son, and he's haunted by the weight of his sin. Yet, in the midst of all struggles, he is restful. His peace came in the midst of life's chaos. Do you want that? Do you want to be calm in this noisy world? Do you want to find rest even when life is full of problems? Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. If we're looking for quietness based on our situations, we'll never truly find it. We'll never truly find it. Because life is full of ups and downs, said Tommy Page. And so much of it is out of control. So we never feel restful. And even when things are going well, we are still often feel anxious, right? Why? Because we're worrying that this could be taken away from us at any moment. So we need to learn how to cultivate a restless heart, a restful heart that isn't tied to our circumstances. We need to learn how to be quiet regardless of our situation. And this is what we're going to learn from David. Three things he doesn't do, and one thing that he actively does. Let's look at first one. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not get involved with things too great and wondrous for me. Friends, in this verse, David tells us three things that he doesn't do, but a lot of us do. Here's the thing. If we want to have quiet, peaceful heart, we need to learn to let go of these things. And what are they? First, David isn't proud. He doesn't have an inflated opinion of himself. He doesn't expect others to see him or to think him highly. But if we're honest, right, most of us, or all of us, struggle with pride. We tend to overestimate ourselves. We want other people to see us more impressive than we really are. We are full of ourselves. Think about it. Have you ever been in job interview? Yes? Don't we always oversell ourselves? When they ask about your weakness, what would you say? My weakness? I'm a workaholic. I care too much about my job. I cannot stop working even on weekends. But really? Or when we post gym selfies with hashtag hard work, motivated, are we just celebrating our progress or even showing off our muscles? No, not quite. We want people to admire us. We want people to see us as motivated, disciplined, hardworking people. We're basically saying, look at me and be like me, right? But David isn't like that. He's not proud. And because of that, his heart is quiet. David isn't proud. And that's the first thing he doesn't do. And second,
Still related to the first one, he's not arrogant. You see, arrogant is how pride shows up in the way we treat others. Okay? Arrogance is how pride shows up in the way we treat others. But in here, David says, my eyes are not haughty. In other words, he doesn't look down on people. He doesn't treat people as if they are less important, less significant than him. Now, let's take a minute to reflect. How does arrogance often show up in our life? Maybe in the nasty comment that we leave on social media, or perhaps it's when we ignore or we interrupt other people in conversations, or in the way we belittle people or downplay their success. Our heart is noisy, competitive, and even hateful and easily offended. We are busy establishing our superiority in some way. But David isn't proud, he's not arrogant, and third, he's not ambitious. Again, this is still related to the first one, still related to pride, because ambition is how pride shows up in our action. He says, I do not get involved with things too great and too wondrous for me. The word great and wondrous here is often associated with God's work in the world, in the Old Testament. So David is saying something like this. He's not trying to take on God's role. He doesn't elevate himself to God-like positions. He's not trying to control everything or make the world to fit his own plans. He's not chasing after the things that only God has power and authority to do. David understands his limit, the boundaries that God has set for him. He respects that. He doesn't try to overstep or take on more than what God wants him to do. Here's the thing, David isn't passive. He's not idle. He simply focused on what God wanted him to do, and he was content with that. Eugene Peterson is helpful here. He makes a distinction between ambition and aspiration. Ambition and aspiration, they're not the same. Aspirations, quote, is a helpful striving towards the best God has for you. God has a plan for us, and we're striving to walk in it the best we can. That's aspiration, and that's a good thing. But if we take that drive, if we take that energy and remove God from the picture, and we replace him with our own self-centered vision, self-centered goal, it turns into ungodly ambition, and that's bad. You see, ambition is an aspiration that has gone off rails because we replace God's beautiful plan with our ambitious goals. And when we're striving towards that, we'll end up exhausted, anxious, and restless. Let's take Jesus' life as an example. Of course, he wasn't idle, he wasn't lazy, but he wasn't ambitious either. He knew his limit as a human being. He knew God's plan for his life, and he stayed focused on it. If you look at it, there's a lot of things that Jesus could have done. But he didn't try to overthrow the Romans. He didn't heal every sick person in Israel. He didn't feed every single poor people in Israel. He rested when he's tired. Was he lazy? Was he lack of ambitions? Was he lack of aspirations, I should say? No, not at all. He's realistic. He knew who he was. He knew what he came to do. He knew his mission, and he stayed focused on it while letting all other things go. This is why, if you see, Jesus is very, very busy. Jesus was very, very busy, but he wasn't distracted. He wasn't anxious. He wasn't restless. I think as we step into 2025, let's take a moment to reflect. Are we purely aspirational? Or are we driven by our own selfish ambitions? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we trying to pursue things too big, too great, too wondrous for us? Brothers and sisters, I think it's important for us to remember that we are not the Creator. We are His creatures. And as human beings, we all have limits. We all have weaknesses. We are not superheroes who can do everything. We are not superheroes that can fix everything. And if we want to have a peaceful life, we need to recognize our limitations. We need to know God's purpose for our life, and we focus on it and let go other things, even though those things are good in and of itself. Now the question is, do you know what God really wants you to do in your life? Do you know what God's plan for you? If we don't know, we may need to pray. We need to pray for clarity, because we shouldn't pursue things too great and too wonderful for us. David isn't proud, he's not arrogant, and he's not ambitious. And if we want to live a peaceful life, we shouldn't be either. We need to let go of pride, arrogance, and ambitions. And that's verse 1. Verse 2. Verse 2 tells us what David did instead. He calmed and quieted his soul. Here's the thing. A calm and quiet soul doesn't just happen on its own. Doesn't happen just like that. It's something that we need to work at. Why? Because our hearts are full of desires, right? Our heart is full of desires, desire for love, wealth, security, comfort, pleasures, acceptance, and more. And these desires constantly demand our attentions, right? Making our hearts restless and noisy. Think about it, okay? Think, when you really want something, how does it feel inside? Unsettled, right? And that inner noise doesn't stop until we get what we want. But here's the truth. We don't always get what we want. And that restless cravings remains. And to make things even more complicated, our desires often clash with one another, creating even more noise in our heart. And because they're conflicting, they can be satisfied all at once. We are forced to choose. For example, right? We have to sacrifice sometimes some of our freedom, something that we desire, our freedom, to nurture a deep friendship, or vice versa. We need to let go of relationship to fulfill our desire for freedom. Either way, the unfulfilled desires in our heart leaves us feeling unsatisfied. And here's the toughest part. Our hearts are never content. We feel one desire, we feel calm for a little while, but soon a new craving pops up, and the noise returns. And the patterns keep repeating and repeating and repeating, leaving us stuck in a loop of noisy heart and temporary quietness. We are like babies, crying and crying and crying because we're hungry, and we only quiet down when we are given milk. But as soon as we're hungry again, the crying starts back up. But this is not what David did. He's not quiet because he's full. He learns to quieten his soul even though he's hungry. Look at the pictures in verse 2. David's restfulness is compared to a weaned child with its mother. Anyone knows weaned child? Weaned child, for those who are not familiar, is a baby who has been completely separated from his mother's breast. So he's not been breastfed anymore. Therefore, a weaned child no longer seeks milk from its mother. He's simply there to enjoy the way it feels to be in the mother's lap. So David is saying something like this. Whenever his heart is noisy with desires, he learns to stay calm. He learns to stay calm not because he's expecting milk to satisfy his craving, but because he's in the presence of God. He knows God loves him, cares for him, and he learns to trust God to care for him, even when that particular desire that's raging in his heart still goes unfulfilled. His contentment comes from knowing God's nurturing care. He discovers a deeper kind of quietness, not because his desires are satisfied, but because it's rooted in God's presence and love. And brothers and sisters, I think this is what we need to learn. This is what we need to cultivate. Let me ask you, what desire screams inside you at the moment? What desire screams inside you at the moment? What do you crave for? Is it romantic love, beauty, a better career, financial security, restful vacation, praise or approval from other people? We need to go through the winning process. And this is not quick and not easy. It takes time. It comes with our resistance. It comes with our struggle. But we have to go through it anyway, right? Otherwise, we won't have peaceful life. Our hearts will always be noisy, always angry, always throwing tantrum, thinking that God doesn't love us anymore. We need to learn to shush, to quiet our desires. But you and I know that we can't just say to our heart, stop. It won't work. Instead, we should recall the love of our God. We need to remember that He cares for us, just like a mother to that unweaned child. He cares for us. He's tender. He's compassionate towards us. He may not give what we want, but He knows exactly what we need, and He will provide it in His perfect timing. So we can trust Him just like a baby being embraced by his loving mother. Friends, true freedom from anxiety, from frustration, from discouragement come when we come and quieten our soul before God, resting in the assurance of His love and provisions. Let's close by taking a moment to reflect. Is your heart noisy? What's the noise going on inside you? This is the message of Psalm 131. If we want to live a peaceful life, we need to let go of pride, arrogance, and ambitions. We need to learn how to quiet the storm of desires that's raging inside our heart. But the question is this: how? How can we let go of pride? How can we let go of arrogance and ambitions? How to cultivate a quiet heart? And the answer lies in the last verse of this psalm. Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forever. At the first glance, brothers and sisters, this comment seems out of place, seems unrelated to the previous verses, almost like an afterthought. But in reality, this is the key to everything. The key to renounce pride, arrogance, ambitions, the way to a council is by putting our hope in the Lord. Let's think about it. When our hope is firmly anchored in God, we can be humble. Why do we need to oversell ourselves when God has already loved us? Why do we need to prove that we are better than other people when God has already accepted us? Why do we need to establish our worth by acknowledging, by achieving great things when God is pleased with us? Yes, we are imperfect in many ways. We know it. God knows it. But Romans 5, 8 reminds us this truth. God proved His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love, God's acceptance are already proven, and it's unshakable. So every time we feel the urge to be proud or to validate ourselves by chasing after things that are beyond us, we need to remember this. God's love for us is sure. God's love for us is unshakable. It has been proven objectively, historically, at the cross. And you know that His love is more solid, more meaningful than any other opinion, be it from yourself or from other people. When we place our hope in the Lord, not in ourselves, not in other people or what other people think, we can let go of self-exaltation, arrogance, and ambitions. And that restless craving for approval is stilled. And in fact, all our desires can be calmed when we rest in God. He calls us to trust Him, to surrender our life in His care. Let's consider this. If God didn't hold back His precious Son, but He gave Him up to die on the cross for us while we are still sinners, how could we doubt His care now that we are now His children? It's impossible, right? If God has given us the precious things, Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, how can He withhold all things that we need in this life? It's impossible. Does that sound easy? It's easy to say, but much harder to do. Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher, once said that this psalm is one of the shortest to read, but one of the longest to learn. So the message is that we all need to learn this slowly. Day by day, we need to learn to trust in Him. We need to learn to let go of our pride, arrogance, and ambitions. We learn to focus on the things that God has for us, God has planned for us. And the good news is that our God is a patient Father. Psalm 131 teaches us a kind of contentment or stillness or quietness of soul that is rooted not in circumstances, but in loving God. And I'll close with a quote from David Paulison. He said this, "When you set your hope in the right place, you become just the right size. No pride, no looking down from high, no hot pursuit of pipe dreams. The soul storms meet their masters, and he said, be quiet, shush, peace, be still." ICC, put your hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord, now and forever. Let's pray.